Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14. You can find that on page 32. Page 32 in the Pew Bible. Genesis means beginning, the book of beginnings, beginning of the world, and beginning of a new world God is making through Abram, the man of faith. We're learning how to walk by faith. That's what we're learning from the life of Abram. A journey of faith. How do you do that? What does that mean and look like? And we come together now to Genesis 14. Beginning at page 32, there's an outline of the message for you as in the bulletin as we study God's Word. Sodom or Salem? Lot made a choice. Remember, that was last week. Lot made a choice to build his home near Sodom. And then God led Abram to go to where he promise and inheritance of land for him. So we pick it up here at Genesis 14. And there's a lot of difficult names. We usually skip over these parts in the Bible. Hard to pronounce these. Pray for me to try to not be tongue-tied with some of these. But there's a lot of names, a lot of places. And I just want to... This means the Bible is not a fairy tale, okay? We're not talking Peter Pan stuff here. This isn't these aren't legends and just made up stories. This is historical. These events and really happen. These people really live. That's one takeaway you get from that. We're not going to focus on that this morning, but that's an impression we need to have when we open portions of the Bible like this. Let's ask for God's help in prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the life of Abram, the father of the faithful. And we are thankful, Lord, that these portions of your word, these passages were written for our encouragement as well as our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages, the power of the new world has come. And we pray, Holy Spirit, help us to make sense of these scriptures. Help us to be encouraged and also be admonished. And we pray that we may take your word to heart and carry it with us in all the days of our life. Teach us, Lord, we pray, what it means to be a person of faith in Christ. And we ask for all of these mercies in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Let's receive it with believing hearts. Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. This is the Word of God. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, these kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shem Eber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. And all these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shaveh, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran on the border of the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out, and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits. And as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's Word. May God add His blessing to it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open and handy for the message on Sodom or Salem. Your congregation of Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, friends of our church family, Matthew Propp thought he was Matthew Propp. Until one day. One day Matthew Propp was trying to get a job in the New Mexico prison system. He had to look up where his birth certificate was. He needed his birth certificate. And he found as he was investigating that he was really not Matthew Propp, so to speak. He was finding out that his real name was Anthony Russini. His real name was Anthony Russini. You can Google it for yourself if you're curious about the story. But it just so happened that someone wanted him to adopt him. They were called the Smileys. And the adoption didn't work out, so they stole him. They kidnapped him. And at 21 years old, after a long time, after he found out his parents were trying to find him and spent all kinds of money to get him back, right, from his kidnappers, he finally had to make a choice, right? At 21 years old, Matthew Propp had to make a decision. Who am I going to belong to? Who am I, really? And my brothers and sisters, that's exactly what Abram is really doing here. He's saying, look, I belong to Salem. I don't belong to Sodom. Who do you belong to? Right? That's a question for us. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to yourself? Or do you belong to Jesus Christ? Appreciate the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Genesis 14. Abram chooses. He makes a choice. Are you going to choose with him that choice? No, I belong to Salem. I belong to the city of peace, in other words, the city of God, right? Jerusalem. And I'm not going to belong to that city of man, that city of Sodom, that sin city, the city of destruction. Abram makes his choice here, and we see together, first of all, how God makes that choice recognizable, I'm not going to get into all of the details here, but we read the story of war, right? It's really the first story in the Bible of all-out war. Probably happened, of course, earlier, but there's an all-out war. There's a great battle going on. There's battles in the journey of faith. Right? If you're going to walk with Jesus by faith, there's going to be battles. More on that specifically in a moment. But what we have here are the headlines and the newsmakers of Abram's day. It's like you're reading the news. What names are you reading about? You're reading about Vladimir Putin. You read about President Trump. You read about North Korea and Russia. These are the headlines, the newsmakers, the news stories of Abram's day. Kettle Armor was, he was the neighborhood bully, right? And you paid him lunch money if you wanted to be safe. And all of a sudden, these kings get together, the battle of the five armies against the four armies, right? It's kind of like the Lord of the Rings going on here. If you're into that, have read the story or saw the movie, there's a great battle scene that these guys are like, look, we're not going to pay lunch money anymore for protection to Kettle Armor. We're going to get together and defeat him. Kettle Armor says, all right, I'm not taking this one sitting down, and he defeats them. Kettle Armor is an undefeated king. He's rolling over everyone in his path. And he's coming up into the borders, really, of that land God promised to Abram. And we read together here, dear friends, as the king of Sodom goes up against King Kettle Armor, we key in there in verse 12. This is really, I think, the point that makes gives us a lot of encouragement. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre. And then Abram gathers his posse together to go up against this undefeated king. These are the newsmakers. These are the headlines of Abram's day. But the main lesson here, dear friends, for us, for our encouragement, is that God isn't saying, look, you know, Abram, you know, this man of faith, a person of faith who believes in the Lord as the God of promise, you know, is going to bless him. You know, he's getting his 5 minutes of fame here. You know, he's kind of stuck into this big news story about these big bullies and the wars and the war makers. No, not at all. The big headliners actually are just the background, just a part of really the story, the big story God is telling. Right? All of this is happening just as kind of a background backdrop to the main story of how God is using Abram to be a blessing to the whole world. This happened in that land of Iraq and Iran, or Iran, in the Middle East. And there's still skirmishes and fighting and all kinds of wars going on there in our day and age. But all of that, dear friends, is really backdrop for the main story. The big news of God blessing the world through Abram. The headlines are really only the background to God's front page news. God's front page news. God says, my special attention is on my son Abram, on a person of faith. That's who I'm really recognizing here. And so the takeaway for us, congregation, when you're a person of faith, when you are a person who puts your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords, then you're the one who actually has the special attention. Right? Not that all of this stuff, the world history doesn't matter, but world history is just really the props. It's just the background. It's just really the scaffolding around the Church of Jesus Christ that God is building. What does that mean? I think very practically and personally, what matters most to your friends, what's most important is what the family of faith is doing right now and today. What matters most, what's most important is what Abram's children, sons and daughters, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, are up to. What matters most to God, God's special attention and recognition is on you, Dad, when you are going over your Sunday school lesson, the Sunday school lesson for your children at home, when you are teaching your children their catechism, when you are helping them memorize Bible verses. That's what matters most. We tend to think, right, it's all about the celebrities and the famous, the war makers, the big muckety mucks in Washington, D.C. And those are the news. No, congregation, you are the newsmakers. You are the world changers. That's what matters most. When you show up early, or when you stay late at church, set up chairs, to set up refreshments, to set up for the ministry of the Word. Sunday school teachers, catechism teachers, adult Bible studies leaders, when you're pouring time and energy and spending hours, right, studying the Word to bring God's Word to others, that's what's most significant. That's what's important. It catches God's eye and He blesses it to be a blessing. When daughters of Sarah, daughters of Abram get together for Bible study and fellowship, for prayer for themselves, for each other, for their neighbors, these are the events, the news that matters most. So let us be encouraged. Let us take heart. When you put in a solid day's work, man of faith, woman of faith, as unto the Lord, right? This is what's important to God when we walk and live by faith. And when we go on rescue, Abram goes on rescue, right? Lot was living, we read together. Remember last time, Lot was where? He set up home close to Sodom. Now, Lot's living in Sodom. Remember how Sodom was described last time together in the chapter 13? Now the men of Sodom, chapter 13, verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. And this king, Chedorlaomer, who was undefeated, kidnapped, right? He kidnapped Lot, and Lot was a nephew of Abram, and now Abram gets together this rescue team, and he recruits a team, and he travels for hundreds of miles to get Lot back. And we read together a congregation of great sacrifice. It's like Abram. All right, one of my favorite movies is Braveheart. Anyone want to admit that? I don't know why, but it's like Abram is like Braveheart here, William Wallace, without the blue paint on. Probably, but, freedom. He's going out with his band of brothers and he's reuniting this team together and he's going off on this daring raid. Right? That's what it means to be a person of faith. It means that when you're scared, you push through the fear and you go out and there he goes. Abram with his 318, like these special ops, right? Elite soldiers that go out and they do this raid and they rescue Lot. And bring him back home. That took a lot of time. It took a lot of energy. That took a lot of planning and preparation. They traveled hundreds of miles to pull this off. But they did it for Lot. Because Lot was sucked into Sodom. My dear friend, are you getting sucked into Sodom? Am I? What have you been watching lately? What have you been listening to? Who are you hanging out with? God encourages us in the life of Abram, but God is also warning us. Be careful. Abram is a man of faith and he sees a crisis. His own nephew. My brothers and sisters, it may be your nephew. I mean, your literal nephew who's sucked into Sodom right now. It may be your niece. It may be a close family member who's in Sin City. Maybe mine. Abram sees the crisis and he sees it as a call to action, right? My loved one, my family member, they don't belong there, right? Lot's having this identity crisis and I gotta go there and I gotta rescue them. He's kidnapped, right? So Abram goes and he sets Lot free. We read together in chapter 14. He goes and he rescues. He led forth his trained men, he divides his forces, and he brought back all the possessions. Verse 16, he brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions. You know, it would have been pretty easy, I think, for Abram, don't you, to just say, you know what, Lot, you made your bed, lie in it. You made the choice. You didn't have to make that decision, but that's what you did. So, no, you got it. You got it. What does a person of faith do in a time of crisis? Oh, let somebody else handle it. Let someone else go. Let someone else talk to them. Well, they mess up their own lives. Why do I have to do anything about it? The Lord is sending you. And he sends me. Are you ever scared? You know, you're a person of faith when you go into those times in your lives. I faced one this past week. I faced actually a couple of them this past week where I was scared. I didn't know what to say. Do you ever get in those situations? That's what the journey of faith means. You get into situations, you're just scared. But God sends you. It's a crisis that calls for you to take action. Not just to sit here, you know, and both, you know, for you to go and speak. And we see a snapshot, really, congregation, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King who went into this world. He went to defeat Satan who held us captive, right? Because we've all made that fatal choice to live in Sodom, the city of man, the city of destruction. And Jesus Christ has come from heaven to earth to go into the sin city, as it were, to die and to rise from the dead, to capture us, to free us from being kidnapped by our own sinful choices and decisions. And now Jesus Christ sends us. Let us be men and women, boys and girls, who dare. Who dare to go, to be strong and courageous when we feel scared. We're scared of what people are going to say. Oh, mind your own business. Who are you to say? Get off your high horse. You're no different. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a debate club. First of all, it's not a debate club. The Church of Jesus Christ, my dear friends, is not a nursing home, as it were, for saints, right? The Church of Jesus Christ, we're to be a hospital of sinners for sinners. We're an army hospital. And that's our mission, to go into the neighborhood, to go into our community, to go into our extended families, if need be, and bring the medicine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know a King who sets captives free. The truth of the gospel will set them free from Sodom. Now Abram makes that choice, right? He's a man of resolve. That's what it means to be a person of faith. You're resolved, right? You're committed. You make this choice and you stick to it. And there Abram runs into, he meets a couple of kings. He meets the king of Salem, the king of peace, in other words. He meets a king who blesses, that's Melchizedek. And then he meets a king who's tempting and enticing. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer has never been defeated, but Abram defeats him by faith in Almighty God. And the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley. Do you realize what the king's valley was in the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It was the Kidron Valley. I never knew that before I studied this text. You know what the Kidron Valley was? That was the valley King Jesus went through. to travel a little while to Calvary's cross. And to Good Friday's graveyard. And rise in victory over all of our enemies of sin and death and Satan, right? Here's Abram in the King's Valley. He meets two kings. King number one, Melchizedek, his name means King of Righteousness, or the King of Jerusalem, Shalom, King of the City of Peace. And Melchizedek blesses Abram. He gives him bread and wine, right? Why is he doing that? He's saying it's time to celebrate victory. That's what bread and wine means. Victory through the battles of life, right? But then he meets, as he receives the blessing from the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, Abram receives a blessing from Melchizedek, a priest of God. One who brings God to people and brings people to God. And Abram gives him a tenth of everything. Verse 20. All right. So, and then we see that there's a king of Sodom who says, hey, look, I'll make a deal with you, Abram. Let's make a deal. All right, you take some of what I have. I'm giving you all these goods. And that way, you know, the king of Sodom is trying to have influence. He's trying to make Abram really, what, sucking him in and making him a son of Sodom instead of a son of Salem. Abram faces a choice, right? And what does Abram say? Well, he says, I belong to the king of Salem. I don't belong to you, king of Sodom. I'm only taking a little bit, right, to cover my expenses. But I'm not going to have anyone say of me that I've been enriched by Sodom. I'm not making that deal. A person of faith is a person of resolve. A person who makes a commitment, right? And who you belong to and who I belong to, who we are, really pops up over and over and over again in the life of faith and the journey of faith. As you start a journey of faith, you make a decision, you make a choice. By the gift of God's grace, I choose Jesus Christ to be my King and Savior. I'm not turning back. I'm following Him. I'm turning my back on the city of destruction. You turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek is a mysterious person. Hebrews chapter 7, you can find that on page 1785. Page 1785. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, actually chapter 6, verse 20. You can find that on page 1785. And basically the message of Hebrews is Jesus is better, he's superior to everyone, and Melchizedek is superior to Abram, as we see that Abram, the lesser, receives the blessing of the greater, a blessing from Melchizedek. We pick it up at chapter 6, verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. He continues a priest forever. And I believe that means that, Melchizedek just kind of appears on the scene and then he kind of disappears from the scene. I don't believe Melchizedek was a preview, an actual figure of Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ is born. But he's certainly another snapshot, right? Abram is a snapshot of Jesus, the king who conquers. And now Melchizedek is a snapshot. He sketches out for us Jesus Christ, the priest of God. Jesus Christ comes to you with outstretched hands of blessing, wounded hands to bless you with what? With bread and wine. His broken body, his shed blood to celebrate the victory. A peace. You have peace with God when you profess Jesus Christ as your king and your priest. The one who brings you without blemish to God, the Holy One. You have peace with God. King who Jesus Christ came to live a life and die a death to give you his righteousness. Will you receive his righteousness with the empty hands of faith, his perfect innocence, so that you celebrate victory even through the battles? Who you belong to pops up over and over again in your life and in mine. Every step of the journey, congregation, to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to be a coward, or am I going to be courageous? Am I going to be encouraged by the special recognition of God in the mundane, ordinary things, you know, just as ordinary as disciplining my child and then taking that child on my knee and praying with him or for him? This is the first commandment, basic issue. You shall have no other gods before King Jesus. Do you have any? Do I? Put those gods away. You shall have no other gods beside King Jesus. And we show to Jesus, right? We show to him, give King Jesus everything you have because he gave you bread and wine. But Sodom wants to influence you, dear friends. Sodom is trying to influence you and me every single day. It never lets up. It wants to make deals with you. Here's the goodies. Here are the goodies. Here are the pride of possessions, right? Here is the lusts of the eyes. Here is the lusts of your, you know, your gut reactions of wanting, right, what the world has. It's all passing away, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. But the one who does the will of God lasts forever. Who are you? To whom do you belong? We show by faith alone. There's nothing too much to give to the Savior who spared no expense, who gave everything to us, including his life. And my dear friends, there's great victory in that good news. You get it, don't you? Death was undefeated. Death was undefeated for centuries until King Jesus, the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness, won on Easter Sunday. And as we've learned again this past week, I am and you are only a heartbeat away from death. Choose this day. Abram. Choose to be a Christian. Choose to be, by God's grace, a follower of Jesus Christ. Choose the city of Salem and not the city of Sodom. Amen. Let's come to the table together, Lord willing, next Sunday with...